This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Thank you very much, Alex and Etty, for setting up such a beautiful Hanukkah party for us to get together and spend a few minutes together. This time last year, it was exactly a year ago, I was asked to give a little talk, or it wasn't such a little talk at the time, in Cape Town, a long way away from here. And the difficulty was that just before I got to Cape Town, unbeknown to me, there was a Hasidische Rebbe who'd come to Cape Town, raising funds or whatever, and he'd done his rounds and he'd been speaking. And his talks went down particularly well because he demonstrated miracles. He told people of the miracles he'd done, and in front of the crowds in Cape Town, he did miracles. And the whole town was buzzing about this. This rabbi who'd come from overseas, and he was doing miracles, and if you went to his lectures, you saw the miracles. It was all about the miracles. And I realized I'm going to have to do something quite dramatic to compete. There's no way I could come and talk about a Rashi or a Rambam or something like that when this guy's doing miracles. And it's Hanukkah time. And I don't know how to do miracles, so what am I going to do? So I got them together. I changed the title of the speech. The speech became How to Do Miracles. And I, instead of giving a talk, I gave them a two-hour workshop on how to do miracles. And I invited them to report back to me, to let me know when they tried it out, to see whether they could do miracles too. So my point was, you don't have to be a Hasidic Rebbe. If you want to do miracles, you can do miracles. There are ways to do it. There's a technique. There's a science to it. And we got amazing feedback, and I'll tell you one of the stories. And I'm not going to go through the whole workshop of how to do miracles, but a lot of the theory of it is in Hanukkah. So that part of it I can share with you in the few minutes of Divrei Torah that we have together. I'm sure very aware of the famous question that the Bach and the Beis Yosef and others ask, why do we keep Hanukkah for 8 nights? There was enough oil for 1 night. So the miracle was only 7 nights. Why do we keep 8 nights? It should be a 7-night chag. The question goes a little bit further because the Rambam says the victory was on the 25th of Kislev. That means the victory was tomorrow. So when was the first night of Hanukkah? It was after the victory, which was tomorrow night. So why do we celebrate the first night on the 25th? Why don't we celebrate the first night on the 26th? All very odd. And the third question is, there's a clear contradiction between the description of the miracle in the Siddur, that we say every Shmona Esra, and in the benching, and the Al HaNisim, and the Gemara and Gemara Shabbos. In the Siddur, what is the miracle? The battle, and that a few won over many, and the battle of the Hashmonaim against the Assyrian Greeks, and so on. In the Gemara, my Hanukkah, the Gemara says, Hanukkah, the miracle of the oil. They only found one little bottle of oil. It was enough for 1 night, lasted 8 nights. That was the miracle. So what was the miracle? What are we actually celebrating? A military victory that was unexpected and very unlikely? Or a miraculous ability to convert one measure of oil? Imagine how valuable that would have been a few months ago. Now it doesn't make that much of a difference. But a few months ago, if you could turn one barrel of oil into 8 barrels of oil, imagine what that would have been worth. And that's what happened. Is that what we were celebrating? Or were we celebrating the miracle victory, the military victory? In the Shmona Esra, when we say Al HaNisim, it's about the military victory. In the Gemara, it's about the lights, about the oil. There's hardly any mention of the military victory at all. The Rambam kind of blends the two together. I think what we need to understand is the two miracles are really one miracle. When we look at the miracle of Hanukkah, and we say there were two things happened. There was a military victory. There was something very unique about this military victory, and that's specified in detail in the Al HaNisim. Rabim miyad miyatim, many were given into the hands of the few. Tameim biyad tohurim, the defiled, impure people into the hands of the pure. Rishoim biyad tzadikim, wicked people in the hands of righteous people. That's what was miraculous. It wasn't just that the Jews won the war. It was completely against all the laws of military strategy that a small band of kollel rabbis should beat the Greek army. That was absurd. There was no reason for that to happen. This wasn't a trained military organization. This wasn't even the Israeli army of today. This was the Hashmonaim. This was the Kohanim. They spent their time in the Beis HaMikdash teaching Torah and bringing korbanos. What did they know about military strategy? That was the miracle. The miracle was the capacity of the pure in quality to overcome the mass of quantity. And there's no physical rule like that. There's no law of science that says righteousness overcomes wickedness. That says purity overcomes impurity. And that you need very little purity to overcome vast quantities of impurity. That's not, in terms of linear mathematics, we don't have any formula that explains that relationship of causality. That was the miracle. And what was the miracle of the oil? It was so pure, it could last for 8 nights. It was the ability of the pure to sustain itself over long periods of time that impure material would not be able to sustain itself. It's the unadulterated purity of quality that is able to achieve what vast amounts of quantities cannot achieve. And whether it's in the military arena or the arena of energy and conservation, it makes no difference. The principle is the same, and that's what Hanukkah is about. It's not about lights, and it's not about a military victory. It's about the capacity of the energy of purity to overcome the barriers of impurity. When there's pure thought, it can do amazing things. When there's pure intention, when there's pure love, when there's pure God-fearing intent, it can overcome almost anything. That's what Hanukkah is about, the power of purity. It's not about lights. And lights are just the symbol. And it's not about battles and victories. There's another aspect to the miracle that's quite interesting. I tried to imagine today when I was thinking about this, what happened? They found this one little thing of oil. Could last for 1 night. They needed another 7 nights. To be able, another 7 days, to be ready to produce the next lot of oil, because they were Tamei Mesim. They were defiled through their contact with their bodies in the war. They needed 8 days to become pure again before they could manufacture the oil. So they've only got one for 1 night. It's going to take another 7 nights before they've got the rest of it. Wouldn't the logical thing have been to keep that crucible of oil until the 7th night? Light it on the 7th night, and then by the 8th night they would have had new oil and they would have had continuity. Why light it? As soon as you find it on the 25th, light it. 26th there would be no oil, 27th, 28th, 29th, the beginning of Tevet there would be no oil until 8 days time, then you have to start again. Why not wait until you've got all the oil ready and then reinstitute the practice of lighting of the menorah and keep it going consistently? What was in their heads? What did they think would happen? After the 1st night when they ran out of that oil, they would stop again, light the menorah for 1 night, and then it would be dark for another 7 nights, and then restart it again. That doesn't make much sense. But here you've got the art of miracle making. This is how you make miracles. You see, it's quite interesting, and here I'll bring a little bit of my business experience, is that people spend an enormous amount of time figuring out strategy. How are you going to get there? This is where I want to go. How are we going to do it? And research shows that none of the strategic plans that are developed are ever implemented. It's interesting. Tom Peters has offered $100 for any strategic plan that was ever implemented, and he claims in the last 10 years he's never had to pay out once. Nobody could bring him a strategic plan that was actually implemented, but companies spend enormous amounts of time and energy preparing strategic plans. You see, strategic plans is where the miracle happens. We don't know how we get to places. We can only determine where we want to get to. And if where we want to get to is very clear in our minds, and we can captivate that, the image of that destination, and we are passionately convinced of the worthiness of our cause, we don't have to worry about how to get there. It never happens the way we plan. It always happens better than we plan. And if the worthiness of our cause is not something we're convinced of, we can make all the plans we want and they never actually get implemented. Other things happen along the way. And that's not the area to put the plans in. So when they got that one little crucible of oil, there was no strategic plan for what would happen after the 1st day. They didn't need a plan for what would happen after the 1st day. They knew one thing. Oil was available. There's a mitzvah to do tonight. Do the mitzvah with the oil. What will happen tomorrow night? Not our problem. That's strategy. Strategy is God's problem, not ours. God works strategy. It's not our business to figure out strategy. It's our business to be passionately committed to that which is right and to believe in that which is worthy and to know the outcome we want. The outcome we want is a reinaugurated Beis Hamikdash, a reinaugurated temple, functioning the way it used to before the Greeks defiled it. That's what we need to create. And if we can begin the creation of that tonight, that's what we have to do. What will be tomorrow night is not our business. That's really the area of strategy, and that's miracle. We don't have to worry about miracle. And so I taught them in this workshop how to choose a destination about which you're passionately convinced is worthy, how to create the image of that destination, how to create it in reality, and how to leave the strategy to God and watch the miracles. And I showed them how to actually measure the miracles and watch them. There was a little 11-year-old girl who heard the thesis and was very intrigued. And she came up to me afterwards and she said, she wants a llama. Can this work for her? Could she get a llama this way? I said, well, why don't you try it out? Who knows? Try it out. She says, okay, she's going to try it out. So from then on, she creates in her mind the image of this llama. And she walks around the city of Cape Town, pulling this llama and telling people to move out of the way and finding places for the llama to sit and finding places. She just lived with this imaginary llama for a few days. Everything was going fine. She was getting a little worried. She would call me each day and tell me how it was going. And still no llama, but she's convinced. She's committed. All of a sudden, I get an exciting call from her mother. The story was the following. Those who know Cape Town will know exactly what I'm talking about. They went out for a drive. Now, Cape Town's not the place you find llamas. They don't live there. They don't grow there. It's not a llama place. They went on a coastal drive, on one of the most beautiful coastal drives in the world. Chapman's Peak Drive. You drive up the side of a mountain. You've got the sea on the ocean on the right-hand side, the mountains on the left. Beautiful bays. The sea is sparkling blue. It's one of the most beautiful spots in the world. They're driving along, and at the end of this Chapman Peaks Drive, it's a long drive along the side of the cliffs of the coast. You come down into a little village called Noordhoek, which is a beautiful, long, white beach, miles and miles long. And I get a call from the mother. She said, you won't believe what's happened. We came down into Noordhoek, and there was a llama farm in front of us. And the kid got out, little Sarah got out. She played with the llamas. She saw what they're like in real life and decided she doesn't want one. But she was very thrilled to see the llamas. I was in Cape Town last year with my son. I said, we've got to see this. I can't believe this. There are no llamas in Cape Town. It doesn't make sense. So we got into the car the next day. And we drove up along Chapman's Peak Drive and through Hout Bay on the right-hand side, the beautiful, beautiful ocean, down into Noordhoek. There's the long beach. And we went to where they said the llama farm was. There was no llama farm. We didn't find any llama farms. There was nothing. We didn't find any llama farms. But she saw a llama farm. There was one when she went out. That's a trivial little miracle, isn't it? The kid wanted to see llamas. She found llamas. I don't know where they were. I don't know how they got there. I don't know whose they were. But there they were. She found the llamas and she was happy. From the trivial to the holy. The principle is the same, Lahavdil, when you're dealing with a Neiros Chanukah. You start with one little crucible of oil that can't possibly last for more than one night. Do you have a strategic plan for the other 7 days? No. But I have a very clear vision of what I want. I want a llama. I want a menorah burning. I'm completely convinced that that's the right thing. And what am I going to do about it? All I can do about it is light what I've got, and that's what I'm going to do. That's Neis Chanukah. I've got to fight the battle against the Greeks. Can I win? No. Do I have a strategic plan to win? No. Is there a military plan to win? No, there isn't. It's not possible. All I can do right now is start the battle. I know what the outcome has to be. I can start the battle. Leave the strategy to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the Neis Chanukah. That's what we say Al HaNisim for, and that's what we light the candles for. We can do it. We can make Chanukah. We can make Nisim. We don't have to wait for a Chanukah once in thousands of years. We don't have to wait for a Hasidic Rebbe to come to town and to tell how he makes miracles. Each one of us can do it in each single day of our lives. If we are passionately committed to the worthiness of what we're doing and we have a very clear vision of what we want the outcome to be. And with that, once again, coming back to the original comments of thanks to Etty and Alex for giving us the opportunity. of celebrating this time, learning something from this time, and I invite you to try it out and see whether you too can make a miracle tomorrow. And just watch things happen. If you're very clear as to what you want the outcome to be and you are passionately committed to the worthiness and righteousness of the cause, just watch things start to fall into place. Things you could never have planned and things you could never have believed, and see and feel the hand of Hashem, particularly at this time, which is a time of such miracle and such joy. So thank you and a happy Hanukkah to all of you.